As Dan mentioned in his communion talk, Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And while that is definitely true, certainly true, I think you would probably agree it is nice to receive something every now and then. In fact, I've decided that this is one of the great perks of having a child, because as you know, we had our third child, Lydia, on December 22nd. And ever since then, we have been receiving all kinds of great gifts. We've received food, we've received gifts, we've received diapers. I've just decided I think I want to have another child just so I can receive more gifts. And this is great. I don't know if Lindsay agrees, but it's a wonderful thing to receive gifts, isn't it? It's wonderful on Christmas morning when you get to wake up and see what your parents have given you. It's wonderful on Valentine's Day when you get the flowers or the chocolates or whatever it is from your special someone. That's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful when we have our birthday. Every person deserves a birthday party. Isn't that right? Or you have a time where people come and gather around you and they sing to you and they give you gifts. That's a wonderful thing. But sometimes we don't receive gifts very well. You probably have had that experience where you get a gift and you look at the gift and immediately after seeing what this person has given you, you know you are never going to use this. You're never going to have any use for this at all. You're going to take it back to the store immediately when it's over. And we don't receive it very well. We don't receive it kindly and graciously as we should. We receive it maybe in an ugly way. And if you've ever done that or ever felt those feelings, I'm here for you this morning. Because on the internet, I found a list, 5 steps of how to fake happiness when you are given a bad gift. This is going to help some of you out. Are you ready for this? Step number 1, mentally prepare yourself before you open the gift. Now, I think this is mainly for the ladies among us. When your husband has given you a gift, just prepare yourself right now. It's not going to be the dress you saw in the mall. It's going to be something practical, something that you can use. Okay, just prepare yourself for that. Step number 2, smile when you open the gift, no matter how shocked you may actually be about it. So you open the gift, you see that something I'm going to take back to the store. Still, we smile when we see the gift. Number 3, we thank the giver for the thought, no matter how terrible the gift is. You can always say that. How thoughtful of you. I never thought you would give me something like this. Thank you. Step number 4, compliment the gift in a neutral way. Compliment it in a neutral way. So if someone gives you a tie, for example, and you look at the tie and you see these colors are way too loud, there's too many shapes or whatever it is on it, that, you know, there's Texas colors, and you're definitely not going to wear that or whatever it is, you still can compliment it neutrally. I love ties. You never can have too many ties. Thank you very much. And then step number 5, and this is very important, keep a light tone in your voice. You can't say, well, thank you, but thank you. So let's put this all together. Let's put the steps together. So first of all, I'm going to prepare myself. This gift that this person's giving me is going to be terrible. It's going to be shocking. I'm never going to use it. You open the gift, and you smile. How thoughtful of you. Never thought you could do this for me. I love ties. You're never going to have too many ties. Thank you so much. That's how you do it. That's how you receive a gift well. But on a more serious note, we don't just need to receive gifts well. We need to learn how to receive God's word well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read about how Paul is constantly giving thanks for the Thessalonian church. He says, when I get down on my knees and pray at night and thank God for the blessings of my life, one church that I think of is you guys, the Thessalonian church. I'm constantly thanking God and praising God for you. And he tells us the reason why. He says, the reason why I thank God continually for you is because you have learned to receive the word of the Lord well. And we've been doing a series that I've entitled Word Reactions. And we've looked at different passages of Scripture where people hear the Word of God, but they don't receive it very well. We started with the story in Exodus chapter 9 of Pharaoh and the 10 plagues, and how Moses came to Pharaoh and he warned Pharaoh about the upcoming plague, and Pharaoh heard the word of the Lord, but he ignored it. He paid no attention to it and was punished for it. Then we looked at the story of Saul and how Samuel came to Saul and gave him the word of the Lord, commanded him on what he was supposed to do, and Saul picked and chose what parts of the word that he wanted to obey, and in doing so, he rejected the word of the Lord. We talked about Jeremiah chapter 6, where the people of Israel heard the word of the Lord. They knew the word of the Lord, but they viewed it as reproach. They were ashamed of it. They were embarrassed of it. They had no intention of obeying it. Then we looked at the story of that strange story of the man of God in 1 Kings 13, who heard the word of the Lord, even spoke the word of the Lord, but on his way back home, he trusted in a human's words over God's words. And because of that, he defied the word of the Lord. We looked at the story of the Pharisees in Matthew 15, where Jesus confronted the Pharisees, and he says, "You have invalidated the word of the Lord because you have placed your traditions over God's word. And in doing so, you have made God's word of no power and of no use." Then last week, we looked at the story in Acts 13, where Paul preaches in the synagogue to the Jews. And at first, the Jews love hearing the word of the Lord. But then when they see the Gentiles, it says, they became jealous. And they threw Paul out. And they didn't want to hear the word of the Lord any longer. All of these people heard the word of the Lord, but they didn't receive it very well. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, here's a church that's got it. Here's a church that understands what to do. They have heard the word of the Lord, and they have learned how to receive it well. And the question that I want us to think about is, how are they able to do that? What were they able to do that enabled them to receive God's word well? Because I want that to happen of me, too. I want us to receive God's word. I want that to be our reaction to God's word. And so how do we do that? And Paul tells us that, first of all, what they did is when they heard the word of the Lord, they didn't just hear it. Everybody that we've talked about in this series, from Saul to Pharaoh to the people of Israel, everyone's heard the word of the Lord. But what sets the Thessalonians apart is they didn't just hear it. They did something more than that. He says in verse 13, he says, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of the Lord, which you heard from us, you accepted it." You accepted it. Now, I think that word accepted is a very powerful word. The root Greek word is where we get this idea of grasping something, like grasping a hold of a rope or grasping a hold of a cable of some sort. And it carries that idea of the Thessalonians. They heard the word of the Lord. They didn't just let it go in their ears. They didn't just hear the sermons. They didn't just read the pages. They didn't just listen, but instead they grasped it. They grabbed a hold of it, and they let it come into their lives. The Message translates the verse this way. They did not just hear it, but they took it in their hearts. They let it come into who they were so that it could change them and transform them. In C.S. Lewis's last book, entitled An Experiment in Criticism, he talks about the different ways in which we can read a book. Now, he's not just talking about the Bible. He's talking about any kind of book. And so when you read a book, you can read it in one of two ways. First of all, you can read a book to use it. And what he meant by that was to read a book to see how this can help me personally, to see what I can benefit from it, see how it's going to help my life, how it's going to bring some element to my life that I don't have already. So that's one way to read a book. But a second way to read a book is to read it to receive it, Lewis said. And this is where you take all your mind and your imagination and your power, and you seek to be patterned after the author of the book. He uses this illustration. So think of a bicycle. When you read a book to use it, it's like taking an extra motor and attaching it to your bicycle, and you can now go farther and longer, but you're still riding the bicycle. But when you read a book to receive it, it's like getting on the back of someone else's bicycle and letting them take you to roads and places that you've never been to before. And I think you can take that analogy and apply it to Scripture. That sometimes we come to Scripture and we read it to use it. We read God's word to see how it's going to benefit me or how it's going to bless my life or how it's going to help my life. And I've told us before, that's not why we come to Scripture. We don't come to Scripture to get God into our life. We don't come to Scripture simply to get a benefit from it. Instead, we should come to Scripture so that we can get our life into God's life, so that we can take our mind and our heart and pattern it after the author of Scripture, which is God himself. In other words, instead of trying to make our life story better, what we want to do when we come to Scripture is we want to enter the story of Scripture and realize that God has a calling for our life. He has a mission for our life, and our job is to accept it and to live for him. So it's not making our life better, it's transforming my life to where I'm living for God. And Paul says that's what the Thessalonians did. They didn't hear the word of God as it was spoken from me and say, hey, there's something that I can use there. Because if it's simply that, then you can take what you want to use and you discard the rest. That's what Saul did, right? But the Thessalonians, when they heard the word of the Lord, they heard it and they accepted it. They let it come into their hearts. They said, that's going to be the word that shapes who we are. That's going to be the food that they're going to eat. That's going to give them the sustenance for their life. Paul says, that's what they did. That's what you guys did. You received it. You received it. And Paul says, when you do that, when you receive God's word and you accept it, then God's word starts to change you. Notice what he says. You accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. That word perform, I think, is another very powerful word. The Greek word there is the word where we get energy or power. Some versions even say superhuman strength. And Paul says, because you have received God's word, because you accepted it and let it come into your heart, it's working in your heart. It's changing your heart. It's transforming your heart. It's shaping your heart. It's making you different because you are letting God's word into your heart. That's what happens when God's word comes inside of us. So this morning, if you feel like you're not really growing, you feel like you're kind of not real close to God, you're not closer to God than where you were a year ago, let's say, I can tell you the reason. The reason is because you are not receiving God's word. Now, you might be hearing God's word. You might be hearing a lot of sermons. You might be reading a lot of pages of Scripture. But you're not receiving God's word. Because Paul says when you receive God's word, you let it come into your heart and you accept it, it's going to perform its work in you. It's going to change you. It's going to transform you. It's going to make you different. That's the way God's word works. When we listen to it, when we let it come into our life, it's going to make us different. Our theme is to be shaped by Scripture. And really what that theme means is listening. Listening to God. In fact, as the ministers and elders talked about the phrase that we were going to use for the year, we thought about using that phrase, listening to God. Be a church that listens to God. Because if we can just learn to listen, to block out the distractions of our life, reduce the noise of our life, and just listen to God as he speaks to us. God's going to speak to us. He's going to speak through his written word. He's going to speak through the preached word. He's going to speak through our brothers and sisters in Christ. He's going to speak to us. And if we can just listen, then God's going to change us. Remember what Eugene Peterson said? I said this in the very first lesson of this series. God speaks, and when God speaks, what? Things happen. And so if we can just learn to listen and let God's word come into our heart, things are going to happen. Transformation is going to take place. And so if it's not taking place in your life, it's because you're not listening. You're not listening to God who's speaking to you. You're not listening to his word and receiving it into your heart. Because Paul says, because you've accepted God's word, you're letting it come into your heart, it's performing its work. It's changing you. And that was very important for the Thessalonians, because to receive God's word was not easy. It wasn't easy for them. Because if you keep reading in the text, Paul mentions that the Jews were causing a problem for the Thessalonians. They were hindering the Thessalonians, it says, because they were persecuting them. They were causing them to suffer. In fact, if you remember in Acts chapter 17, when Paul first comes to Thessalonica and to preach the gospel there for the very first time, the Jews didn't like what Paul was doing. They became so agitated that they came to Paul's host, Jason, and kidnapped Jason, dragged him out of his house, brought him to the authority, and say, listen, you need to do something about this guy, because the guy's staying with him. Paul is turning everything upside down because of what he's saying. They did not like Paul preaching the word of God. So Paul left Thessalonica. The next place he goes is Berea. He gets to Berea. Things are going great. The Jews in Thessalonica hear about it, so they go to Berea, and they stir up problems there. These Jews in Thessalonica, they did not like the word of the Lord being proclaimed by Paul. And Paul knew that if the Thessalonians were going to receive and accept God's word, that it wasn't going to be easy, that they could be persecuted, they could experience suffering from the hands of the Jews. He knew it was going to be hard. A couple weeks ago, my sister and brother-in-law were with us, and many of you know my sister and brother-in-law live in India. They're missionaries in India. And one thing that they struggle with, an issue that they struggle with over there, is the threat of persecution. That there are some extremist Hindu groups and local groups that don't like the message of Jesus being proclaimed, and so they will sometimes break out and do some persecution. It's not an everyday threat, but it is out there, and it's something they have to be aware of, they have to teach on, they have to be prepared for. And so someone asked my brother-in-law the question, how do you handle that? When there's persecution among the brothers and sisters there, I mean, what do you do to kind of keep the morale up? Keep everyone focused on following Jesus. And he said, this is what we do. When someone experiences persecution, we throw a party. And we have this big spread of food, and we take the person who was persecuted, and we set them at the place of honor. And we just spend the whole night encouraging them, saying good things about them, telling them scriptures. For instance, like in 1 Peter chapter 4, where it says, for those of you who are persecuted for the name of Christ, don't be ashamed, but glorify God. Or like Matthew 5, where it says, blessed are you when people revile you and insult you and persecute you because of me. We tell them scriptures like that that would encourage them and let them know that suffering for the name of Jesus is a good thing. In fact, he said, we make the party so great, so enjoyable that someone would think, you know, I kind of want to suffer so I can have a party like that, you know. That'd be great. But they have to do that to keep the morale up, to keep encouraging one another to say, you know what, it's okay if we suffer a little bit. It's more important that we are following Jesus. And it was the same situation here with the Thessalonians. They knew that if they were going to receive God's word, they might experience some trials. They might experience some suffering, and it was going to be hard. But Paul says, I can tell that you've received the word of God. I can tell that God's word has come into your heart, and it's changing you. And the reason why I can tell is because you're enduring. He says in verse 14, for you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings. They were enduring. They were resisting Satan. They were standing up for the name of Jesus. And it was because they had accepted God's word and it was coming into their hearts and it was changing them. That's what happens when we receive God's word. We endure. We endure. And I know there are some of us here that you're going through trials right now. You're going through hard times. Maybe it's a health issue that you're struggling with, or maybe a health issue of a family member. Maybe you're having relationship problems, financial difficulty, spiritual temptations kind of hitting you hard. I know there are several of us here, many of us here, who come to this worship assembly burdened. And if that's you, let me tell you how to endure. Receive the word of God. Receive it. Don't just hear it. Receive it. Because when you let God's word come into your heart and it begins to perform its work in you, when the hard times come, you stand. When the persecutions come, you stay faithful. When the sufferings arise, you're able to still have joy because God lives inside of you and his word is at work within you. And Paul says, that's what you guys are doing. You've received God's word. It's working in you and you're enduring through the sufferings. And I think the question of this text is, what is our response to God's word? That's really the question of this whole series. We've talked about God's word a whole lot, and you're going to hear it a whole lot. So how are you going to react to it? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to reject it? Or are you going to be like the Thessalonians and receive it? What's so powerful to me about this passage is at the very end of this section, Paul concludes by talking about the second coming. When Jesus comes back and we're able to be raised in our new bodies and be in the new heaven, new earth. And Paul says, you know, there's a group of people that I'm really looking forward to seeing when Jesus comes back. And we could probably brainstorm what that group of people would be or who they are. Maybe it'd be the Ephesian church because Paul spent a lot of time there and cried when he left. Maybe it would be the co-workers that he worked with like Timothy or Titus or Epaphroditus or Silas or Barnabas. I'm sure he would love to see them again. Or maybe the Philippian church because we know he loved that church very dearly. But Paul says in this text, the group of people that I am so looking forward to seeing someday when Jesus comes back is you guys, Thessalonians. You're going to be my joy, and you're going to be my crown, he says. That small little group of people up in northern Greece that have stood for Jesus in the midst of all the idol worship. He says, someday when Jesus comes back, I'm going to look forward to seeing you guys because you received God's word. You didn't just hear it. You didn't just think about it. You received it, and you accepted it, and you let it change your heart, and you've been enduring for the Lord for so long, and I can't wait to see you. Can't wait to see you, Paul says. And church, I just want to compliment all of y'all. Because this series, I've preached some hard lessons. And I say hard because they've been hard on me. I don't know about you, but they've been hard on me. Lessons about picking and choosing God's word and how we do that. Lessons about tradition. Lessons about grace. And I'm thankful to be at a church that when God's word is preached, I don't get people come up to me and they're all mad. Instead, I have people that come up to me and say, thank you. It's not what I wanted to hear, but it's what I needed to hear. Because I think that's what it means to be a church that receives God's word. A church that says, bring the word, and if it cuts me, let it be. If it hurts me a little bit, that's okay. I want to hear the word of God. I want it in my heart. And if we can keep being a church like that, a church that receives God's word, then when Jesus comes back, it'll be your joy and it'll be my joy to see one another again. I want you to grab your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, get your iPhone or iPad or iPod or whatever. If you don't have a Bible, get one in the pew in front of you. If you don't have one in the pew in front of you, get a songbook. Just grab something. Preferably the Word of God. I began this year by offering a blessing for us. And I thought it might be appropriate to end this series by offering another blessing. So I want you to hold your Bible up. Let's pray. God, we come to you as a community of believers on the south side of Fort Worth. We want to be a church shaped by Scripture. And Lord, we are holding up the written Word of God. And we're going to read it. It's going to be preached to us from this pulpit. People are going to speak it to us. Brothers and sisters in Christ are going to say words to us that come from this book and from your heart. And Lord, may we be a church that when we hear your word, we don't ignore it. We don't reject it. We're not ashamed of it. We don't invalidate it. We don't defy it. We don't get mad because other people are able to hear it too, but instead, we receive it. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we all say together, amen. I want to ask our shepherds to stand up and to go ahead and get into their places. Our shepherds want to help you receive God's word. That's their job description. They want to help you receive God's word so they can come into your heart and can change you. And if this morning you came into the assembly with a burden, and it's been hard to endure, I want you to share it with one of your shepherds here in a second. We're going to sing a song, and you can just walk to one of your shepherds and just say, pray for me because I'm having a tough time. And it's okay. We all have tough times, right? We all have burdens to carry. And so I want you to just share that with one of your shepherds and say, pray for me because right now I'm really having a tough time. But maybe this morning you were convicted because your heart's not open to God's word, or it hasn't been open to God's word for several years maybe. It's been closed, and you've been rejecting God's word, or you've been invalidating God's word, and you want to receive God's word. Maybe you need to walk to one of your shepherds and say, pray for me that I can receive God's word, that it will come into my heart, and it'll shape me and transform me. Or maybe you're ready to make the decision to follow Jesus, to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ. We would love to help you do that this morning and start this journey of living for God and as a part of his story. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.